We give God our great praise this morning. What a beautiful morning to be in the house of the living God. The living God. The living God. The God we serve is a living God. The living God this morning. Do you know the God that lives? Has that God brought you back to life this morning? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord on Easter morning? Oh, we serve a good God this morning. Yes, it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It is a beautiful day. As you can tell, I am overjoyed today. I am could not be happier. I'm in the best place in the universe right now at Greenwood Baptist Church. So very excited. If you don't know me, my name is Willa Rose Johnson. I have the honor of being the new pastor here, and I could not be happier about it. So I'm just overjoyed. I thank everyone for your support and for your love. I've been looking all week on thesaurus.com for another word for excited, because I'm just so excited I can't figure out the best way to say it. How wonderful, what a blessing it is to be able to join this family. And I already feel so much love, so much love. And what an incredible day that I get to join on Resurrection Sunday. And then on top of that we got to celebrate three beautiful baptisms this morning. And then we are also welcoming new members into our family. It's just my cup runneth over. Y'all know when they said that, sometimes you didn't know what it means. Today, I know what it means. Amen. And so I'm grateful to many of my family members from First Corinthian Baptist Church for being here this morning. Love you all, miss you all. And I send you greetings back home. And thanks to our music ministry for bringing us in. Did they not this morning? They did an incredible job. Yes, yes, yes. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I just have a feeling that God had an appointment with us today. And God has something God needs to say to us this morning. And so I'm excited about this opportunity to see what God might be saying. And I pray that God will speak, that God will speak this morning. So if you could, with me, attend to the word of our Lord. This morning we're going to be in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, beginning in the first verse. Give everybody a chance to find it. Luke 24, verse 1. And it reads, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you,' they said, 'while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day would rise again.' Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened." If you could return your attention with me to the first through the fifth verse. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside him. The women were terrified. They bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" Let us pray. God, we come into your holy house this morning needing something. We suspect and we feel that, God, it's a setup. You've led us to the season of resurrection, God, because some of us need to be brought back to life. We are so excited about what you are about to do. God, sometimes we try to hear you and we can't hear you. Sometimes we look for you and we don't know where to go to find you, God. But today we know that we are in the right place. So speak, God, because we are listening. We will do our best to quiet down on the inside so we can hear you, your holy voice, because we need it so much. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. 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 If you're standing, you can take your seats. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It is difficult to fathom for us, those who live on the other side of resurrection. It is difficult to fathom the things that Mary and the other women were feeling this Sunday morning, 2018 years ago. There is not much pain that compares with the pain of watching the powers that be take the life of the one that you love the most. Mary loved Jesus as Lord, as teacher, and as friend. She loved him not just as one who had seen his miracles, who had heard his teaching, but she loved him as one whose life had also been put back together by his touch. So as she watched the life leave the body of this one that she thought would be the redemption of her people, she watched her greatest dream turn into her worst nightmare. For 3 years, she had followed him. She had loved him. She had hoped in this man and everything he represented. And it only took 3 cruel hours to take it all from her. This morning, when we find Mary, she is blinded by this pain. She's beside herself. She doesn't know what to do. This pain that is worse than anything she ever expected. This Friday afternoon that took everything from her, that cast the rest of her life in gloomy tones. Blinded by this pain and not knowing what else to do, Mary and the other women, they go back home and they start to prepare burial spices. Can you see them there? Dismayed by what they had seen, plunged into the depths of disappointment by that day on the hill and not knowing what else to do, they go to their kitchen and they begin mixing burial spices. So in ancient Jewish households, when someone passed away, what they would do is wrap them in linen and anoint them with spices. Now, the spices were to cover up the smell of the decay for the first few days because during that time, the family would continue to visit the body. And so in the Gospel of John, when John tells the story, says that the blend that they used was myrrh and was aloe, and it was about 100 pounds. Now, if you remember from the Christmas story, myrrh is an expensive spice. Back then, it cost about 1 ingot. Now, ingot is a currency of money, an ancient currency. I know you have a few ingots in your pocket right now, and so I know you know exactly how much they're worth. But in case you don't have any in your pocket and you don't remember, I'll tell you, an ingot is worth about $18 today. So a gram of myrrh was worth about $18. And if John is right, they're mixing a mixture of 100 pounds of this with aloe. Now, you wouldn't have myrrh and aloe lying around your house. Now, this is curious to me, and I spend so much time and so much detail on it this morning because Mary knew. Mary had heard from the mouth of Jesus himself. He had told her, he had predicted that he would not stay in the tomb for long. He had told her that this end would not be the end of him, that this apparent defeat would turn into a victory. She had been there in the temple and in the Galilean countryside at his feet. He had told her, oh, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, but on the third day. He had told her, oh, it would get rough, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. He had told her that the myrrh and the aloe could stay in their jars because he wouldn't be buried for long. But like you do and like I do, when we hear something that sounds a little far-fetched to us, Mary probably looked at Jesus and shook her head, nodded a long smile. Yeah, okay, Jesus. She probably, like a good disciple, didn't really believe everything that she heard, but she probably made him feel like she did. You know how we do. Maybe she wanted to believe. Maybe when she sat at his feet in the temple, these words of hope, these words of new life, these words of God being able to redeem even the worst pain, they sounded warm. It sounded comforting. She wanted them to be true. But when she was honest with herself, when she looked at the facts, these promising words of his, maybe they sounded to her more like an idle tale. Or maybe she did believe at the beginning. When she first spoke them to her in the temple, maybe they sounded true. But as her worst nightmare began to unfold, her belief in the comforting words that she had heard at the master's feast, first they start to crack. Then they start to break apart, and then they crumble completely. So when that hour came, when that terrible Friday took everything from her, she didn't remember that Jesus had told her that this wouldn't be the end. She didn't remember that Jesus had said this defeat would turn into a victory. She couldn't hear any words in her memories of new beginnings. She couldn't see any new beginnings on the horizon because all she saw on the horizon was the cross. She forgot Jesus' promises. And she went home and she began preparing burial spices. Mary is a model of what we human beings do with our pain. Though we may not have experienced the agony that she felt that day, maybe you know what it's like to hurt more than you ever thought was possible. Maybe one Friday everything was taken for you, or one Tuesday everything changed in your life. Maybe you know what it's like to be devastated by disappointments, or for tragedy to visit your doorstep when you thought it never would, for years of hope to be erased by a few cruel moments, for things to not have turned out like you expected. Maybe you know. And like Mary, in our moments of deepest pain, when we are most baffled by life's blows, the promises that we heard at the Master's feet, they are nowhere to be found. Maybe when you hear them at first, you want to believe when you hear things that the Sunday school teacher tells you, oh, with God, all things are possible. All things work together for good for those of us who love the Lord. You nod your head and you smile and you want to believe, but maybe part of you isn't really convinced. Or maybe back then you did believe. Maybe when things were good, it was easier for these promises to seem true. Isn't it funny how when you're repeating them back to the Sunday school teacher, they sound great? But when life isn't turning out like the Brady's or the Winslows, when you hold it up alongside the facts of your life, sometimes when life gets hard, your belief in the promises that you learned at the Master's feet, sometimes it starts to get brittle. Then it cracks a little bit, and then finally, it can crumble. So what do we do? Well, we, like Mary and the other women, we do the only thing we know to do. We start preparing burial spices. When things get bad, we start making preparations for things to stay the way they are. We become resigned to the permanence of our pain. We make provisions for things not to change, for things not to get better. We spend hours in the market and in the kitchen mixing myrrh and aloe so that we can give a proper burial to our dreams. We spend hours getting ready to lay rest to the things that we hoped for. In case you haven't had your coffee yet, or in case you weren't really paying attention to the first part of the sermon, I'll help you out here. What are your burial spices? They told you a diagnosis and you didn't like the way it sounds. And you keep trying and trying, but the numbers just don't seem to be moving. And you say with your mouth that you believe that better is on the way, but in your heart, you're really just getting used to the way things are. You're really just getting resigned to the bad news that you have received, making decisions based on your physical limitations instead of your healing, making provisions for the worst case scenario. You're getting your burial spices ready. Or maybe you used to have hope for love again after the divorce. But now when you talk about it with your friends, it's more like a joke. It's not a real hope. So you start making preparations, getting ready for things to stay the way you don't want them to be. You start making plans for cats instead of dates. You start making plans for things to stay. You didn't ever want them to end up, making provisions for the worst case scenario. You get your aloe and your myrrh and you mix them together. You're mixing your burial spices. Our pain is like a sharp object that we carry around. It's like a sharp thing that we can't sometimes figure out how to put it down. And it's so sharp that when we can't figure out how to put it down, we walk around with it and we try to hold it in a way so that it doesn't cut us. So we start maneuvering and holding it in a different way, but no matter how much you maneuver, if something is sharp and heavy enough, eventually it will cut your skin. But some of us get so good at resigning ourselves, holding our pain in a certain way so that we just barely notice it, so it doesn't take us down. We get so good at resigning ourselves to the way we didn't want things to be that we become expert at it. We get really good at accepting bad news. I don't know if you've known any people like this. We become master spice mixers. It doesn't even take much to convince us that the good won't happen and the bad will stay right where it is. We have our resigning ourselves to our pain right down to an art. Some of us are so good at mixing spices, we know the recipe that by heart. We're so good at it that we're selling it to other people. We walk around telling everyone else how things are going to stay the same. We're such masters at the art of resignation. We try to teach other people how to do it. Oh, girl, that's just the way things are. You know people don't change. Oh, you're going to pray about it? Oh, that's cute. Let me know how that goes. We become master spice mixers. So good, we know the recipe by heart. We could do it in our sleep. Sometimes we get so good at the art of resignation that we just look up and find ourselves in the kitchen, not even meaning to, mixing those burial spices, getting ready to let things stay the way they are. Why do we do this? Why do we do it? It's a defense mechanism, really. In order to shield ourselves from trying and failing, of to shield ourselves from the pain of having hopes that are dashed, of giving everything you can give in the last round, but still ending up on the mat, we take shelter instead in resignation. We get used to the idea of the worst, because chasing after the best is just too much of a risk, too much to bear. It's safer to get used to a sad ending than to risk for the hope of a happy one. Sometimes it's not just the risk of pain that we're avoiding, it's the risk of effort. Sometimes it's easier to live in resignation than to do the work of transformation. It's easier to find that perfect cat for you than to work on yourself and fix your issues so you can find the love of your life. We get so used to the idea of the death of our dreams. We get comfortable with the prospect of burying our hopes, and we find ourselves like Mary, planning for the worst, walking toward the tomb where our dreams are laid, planning for the burial of the things we hope for, spices in hand, planning to lay them to rest once and for all. I am so glad this morning. I'm so glad that we're reminded, just as the prophet says, that God's ways are not our ways, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that God's plans are not our plans, and that God has a different ending in mind. I don't know if you saw in the text this morning that God had a different ending than the one that Mary was planning. That's what Mary discovered this Sunday morning 2018 years ago when she got there planning for the end to be the fate of her Lord and Savior, which planning for the worst thing to happen. She got there with myrrh and aloe in hand, all ready to say her final goodbye. She found the stone already rolled away. She found that God had a different ending in mind. She looked at the tomb where she expected the body to be, but it wasn't there. She was preparing for it all to be over, but God had something else up God's sleeve. You have been preparing for your pain to stick around. You have gotten used to the idea that it's always gonna hurt. You have gotten used to the idea that it's not gonna get better, that this is the way things are gonna be, that what was taken from you is gone for good. But God has a different ending in mind. When Mary saw the tomb wasn't as she expected, she leaned in a little more. She put down the heavy spices that she was carrying, and she put them down long enough to take a better look. And what she thought was her fate wasn't her fate. And pretty soon enough, she started hearing angels explaining things to her. Remember, they said, remember when he told you when he was back in Galilee. Remember what he said to you, that it would get really bad, but God will somehow make it good again. If you take a second look, if you join Mary at the tomb and you take a second look, you lean in, you take the time to put down the burial spices, you might hear some angels explaining things to you. They might start telling you that the tombs that you were preparing are temporary measures, that God had a different ending in mind. If you put the burial spices down long enough, you might see that they weren't necessary after all. Let the angels talk to you this morning. Let them say to you, remember what the master told you when you were back in Galilee, that things would get bad, but oh, God can make them good again. Angels are trying to whisper to us this morning, put down the burial spices. They won't be necessary. One of the reasons that these promises from God often seem like idle talk, one of the reasons it's hard for us to believe them, is because these miracle stories, they're often given to us in the wrong way. They're presented to us in the wrong way. We have a hard time believing them because they're given to us only with the pretty part showing. Do you know what I mean? The way they tell us these stories, they don't always tell us the whole story. They give us only the pretty parts of the story, and anybody who has lived 15 minutes knows that life is not just pretty. They tell us this story as though resurrection was the only part that mattered. They tell us this story as though resurrection was the only part we should remember. But our sacred stories are not just pretty. with this story, Jesus' story. We often hear it as though the bad parts didn't happen, as though resurrection erased everything and canceled everything out. But the resurrection, we know, didn't erase the pain of the crucifixion. Sunday didn't erase Friday or Saturday. Jesus still had to go through it, and his earthly life was still ended. He didn't get to go on and live a long life and have grandchildren. His earthly life was over. The resurrection didn't cancel the pain of what happened, but it redeemed it. Our story today tells us that there's a difference between God canceling our pain and God redeeming it. Sometimes we can't believe these stories because when we hold them up to our lives, they don't have anything to do with reality. But this story today tells us God is not trying to tell you that God is going to cancel all your pain. God is not trying to tell you that God is going to erase everything that happened. The things that you have gone through, they did hurt you. Some losses are always going to be part of your story. Some years you can't get back, but God can redeem it. How many know that today there was a difference between God erasing pain and redeeming it? That Jesus, his pain was not erased, but it was redeemed. That the resurrection didn't cancel it out, but at the end of the day, the victory was his. At the end of the day, in spite of the pain, we know that our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he still won. Though his life was shorter than Pilate's, his life was a better life than Pilate's. Though his life ended that day, his life goes on in us. God redeemed it. That's your story too. The pain that you are going through. I'm not trying to sell you a story. I'm not trying to sell you the idea that God will click God's fingers and make it all go away. This is not just an idle tale with only pretty parts. This is not an easy miracle. This is a story of your pain and God having a different ending in mind. This is a story of your pain and God and God's majesty and creativity being able to redeem even the worst of it. And let me tell you, God specializes in the hardest cases. This is our story today, that anything, God can turn a defeat into a victory, and that God's plans are different than the ones that you have been planning. These promises that you've heard at the Master's feet, they're not only pretty stories. They're not only the pretty parts. They do have to do with your pain. But I'm telling you today that God has a different ending in mind than the burial that you've been planning. If you've been carrying around burial spices, if they're getting heavy, you can put them down. If you've been mixing and making preparations for things to stay the way they are, you don't have to do that anymore. The angels are whispering to us, those burial spices won't be necessary anymore. Today is the day when God makes it all new. Can you hear the angels whispering to you today? This is your day of resurrection. If you want to live life convinced that the worst is going to happen, let me tell you, the devil will let you. If you want to live life convinced that everything is going to stay the way it is, the angels didn't go chase Mary down. She had to come to the tomb. And if she had chosen to believe that Jesus had still lost, they would have let her. If you want to live life convinced, heavy, weighed down by your burial spices, the devil will let you. But if you want to put those spices down today, if you want to put down the heavy things you've been carrying, that weight, the aloe, the myrrh, the pessimism, the resignation, if you're tired of making plans for things to stay the way they were, there's still part of you that believes in the stories that you heard at the Master's feet. There's still part of you that believes that God can make all things new. There's still part of you that wants to believe that these are not idle tales. I'm telling you today, it is the season of resurrection. So come and see what God can do. Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand. We are excited about our God this morning. Yes.